Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. They do great work there. They'll diagnose the problem. They'll take care of the specific problem. And check out the website, too, because there are going to be a lot of you that are in the mood to get a car, especially with the interest rates. All right, before we get to Stefan Wisniewski, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day, the Masters.
Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory.
How about that emotional scene? It probably has not been that kind of emotion at Augusta. And there's always, there's always the roars and the heightened excitement and so forth, but probably since Nicklaus won in 86, what Tiger did last year. And he will be the defending champion in November when they play the Masters at Augusta National. And today would have been the opening day of the Masters. He would have had the ceremonial opening shots from Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. Instead, all quiet. All right. Stefan Wisniewski's made a big move, leaving the Kansas City Chiefs, where he helped them win a Super Bowl title, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steph, to you, your family, I hope you're all doing well, and it's great to have you with us.
We are. We're quarantined and healthy at the moment so far. Thanks for asking, Steve.
I appreciate that. Okay, good. Let's start with... Let's start with the decision to go to the Steelers. You're sitting there. You have opportunities. What was it in the end about Pittsburgh that said, okay, you know what? The offer's good. Let's go home.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity, personally, to compete to be the starting left guard for the Steelers and one of the places I could, compete to be a starter. And it's a phenomenal organization. I mean, everyone in this area kind of knows the Steeler organization. It's got a rich history of, just quality ownership, quality coaches, just quality people. And, I've known that because I grew up there and always kind of hoped I'd have a chance to be a Steeler one day. And, when the Steelers came calling this free agency, it was hard to pass that up.
Did you already know at that point Foster was going to retire?
I did not. Honestly, I saw it, on my phone or whatever, saw the news story, and the media was like, oh man, Foster retired, I should call the Steelers, I would love to go there. And called my agent and said, hey, did you talk to the Steelers yet? And he said, yeah, actually I already talked to them, they're interested. And I was like, wow, let's get that done, because that would be awesome.
You have obviously had really what's turned out to be a really good NFL career between the Raiders, the Jags, and then obviously the Eagles and the Chiefs. So I want to go back to Kansas City for a moment. Obviously, you get released right at the end of August. What opened the door to get you to Kansas City?
I was watching I'm watching the Chiefs play the Colts on Sunday Night Football, and, during those 5 weeks, I wasn't, on a team. I was watching football all the time, and I'm, watching guys get smoked, and I'm like, oh, that team should call me, and someone else gets beat. I'm like, oh, those guys should call me. What's going on here? And I'm watching the Chiefs play the Colts, and they had an injury, and then, you know, a backup guy went in and wasn't doing so well, and I'm watching, yelling at the TV, like, oh, I could do better than that guy. They should call me, you know. And sure enough, they did. And Monday after that game, they called me, brought me in for a tryout, a physical, passed all that. And they signed me on, I guess, Monday night or Tuesday, and was in dress playing in the game on Sunday. And was really excited to get a call from the Chiefs, too, because, you know, they're a great football team. So much talent, and, you know, I'd heard a lot of good things about Andy Reid from guys that played for him with the Eagles, and I was just excited to be, you know, part of a winning franchise, and obviously it turned out to be a great place to be looking back at the end of the year.
It is one thing, Steph, for us to sit there and watch Patrick Mahomes and say, wow. It's another thing to be in the same huddle with him, practice with him, and so forth. What can you tell us about him that maybe the average person really wouldn't know about him?
Well, he's got a great heart. I mean, he's really smart. He studies the game. He plans out a lot of that crazy stuff he's doing with his guys. Got a great heart. He plays the game like a kid out there having fun, even, you know, in the Super Bowl with the stakes as the highest they could be. He's out there having fun with his teammates, and his instincts are unbelievable. Sometimes his receivers will make a cut that's not even part of the play, but they kind of feel the defense, and because he knows them so well, he feels it too, and they make plays that, you know, no one else would make. The other thing that's crazy playing with Pat Mahomes is just watching how he throws the ball. I mean, the guy, like, he's like throws it like a shortstop. He can, like, be fading away, not turn his hips, not step into it, not square up. He just kind of flicks his wrist, and the ball goes 50 yards, like, exactly where he wanted it to go. And it's like, how did he do that? Like, I don't even understand. I've never seen anybody throw the ball like that, and it's super impressive. I mean, he does it every day in practice, walkthrough. He just flicks his wrist, and the ball goes flying, and sometimes we'll, like, be watching tape of practice, and we'll be like, how far did that go? And someone's like, oh, that was, like, 63 yards in the air, like, fading away. Like, I don't know how that's possible, but it's impressive to see in person.
Each one is different unto itself. So you're part of the Eagles World Championship team, wins the Super Bowl up in Minneapolis, and it's the first one ever for them, and their first championship since 60. For the Chiefs, they hadn't won the Super Bowl in 50 years. And yes, I was alive for it. Thank you very much, Steph. So was your
dad. I wasn't going to say it.
So was your dad.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. Was there any different feeling with each one? How similar and how different were those two teams?
You know, like you said, the fan bases, they both kind of had that hunger and that excitement of a fan base that had been waiting a long time, which is cool. And I think that, you know, made it even more special, you know, when fans are waiting a really long time for a championship. I mean, they're extra amped, and they really, really appreciate it. And you can feel that energy, you know, when you play in the NFC or the AFC championship game, and, you know, that fan base has been waiting for a Super Bowl for a while. You just feel that energy, and it's pretty unbelievable. And that's definitely one of the similarities. Every team, you know, is going to be a little bit different, but, yeah, you know, both of those teams, obviously super talented, but I think, you know, being on championship teams versus, you know, I was on some bad teams early in my career, some 3-win teams, 4-win teams, obviously talent's a difference, but I think overall on both of those teams, there was a commitment to kind of go above and beyond with work ethic, with preparation, with just focusing on the details of what makes each play work versus I think on teams that are losing, there's more this idea of like, ah, whatever, I'm just going to kind of show up at work, punch my card, punch in, punch out, leave. So I'll kind of do the minimum, but there's not a lot of extra above and beyond work. There's not as much focus on details, and It was fun to be part of both of those championship teams just because everyone's genuinely trying to do everything they could do to win. And when you get that collectively from 53 guys, which is hard to do, right? You have 53 individuals that, you know, have their own goals, their own motives, their own whatever, but when you can get 53 guys pushing, you know, with all they got toward the same goal, it is it's a fun thing to be a part of. And it's hard to do. It's hard to replicate. Obviously, Philly, you know, didn't do as well the next couple of years after the Super Bowl. It's hard to pour everything you have into a season, and then a couple months later, it's like, all right, well, we got to do it again. It's like, man, I just put everything I had into that. So it's really cool to be a part of that. It's obviously really rare to be on a team that wins the Super Bowl. A lot of times, it's kind of a perfect storm of talent and experience and staying healthy at the right times. Actually, Philly, we didn't stay very healthy, but we had great depth, so we pulled it off. But yeah, it's an amazing thing to be a part of, and I'm truly blessed to have one or two. I'm really, really blessed and grateful to God for that.
This will be, I think, your 10th season in the league.
Yes, sir.
League coming up, and it probably has been a for the most part, a pretty standard way for you to get ready for a season, because you know what it takes to get ready. In this current situation, how have you had to adapt that standard way of getting ready for a season?
Well, generally, I come to State College and I train at the Penn State football facility.
That's usually where I see you.
Yeah, and we cross paths, and I'm over there moving weights, and you're, you know, talking and interviewing and doing your thing.
Are you saying I'm not lifting weights? Thank you very much.
I mean, maybe they don't let you. You know, I don't know. Maybe they're not allowed. I don't know.
No, it's actually a choice.
Hey, you're doing your work. I'm doing my work.
That's right.
It's all good.
That's right.
Sometimes I think your work sounds a little more fun than mine.
It's a lot more.
yeah. No one's hitting you, and you don't have to pick up those 400-pound weights and put them back down.
Get that right.
Sounds nice. But, yeah, I usually train there in Franklin, and going back to O'Brien, we're welcoming of me and other, you know, former Penn State NFL guys coming back and training. And that's all on lockdown now, though. So I actually am lucky, because even before this all happened, I was starting to put a gym in my basement for the first time, and I got enough weights down in my basement that I'm pretty much on normal schedule. It's a little harder to run. You know, normally I go run over there at the Penn State football facility, and I'm like running in local parks, which not exactly the you know, the pristine Penn State manicured grass and turf that we have available. But for the most part, I mean, I'm going to be ready to go. I'm going to have my strength. I'm going to be in cardio shape, and I'll we'll see if we don't have any OTAs. You know, that makes it a little harder, just because if you go straight into training camp without having any football, that's a little weird, especially learning a new system. But you know, hopefully I'll find a D lineman somewhere here or there in June or July and get a couple blocks in, so I'm ready to go.
Can't wait to watch you with the Steelers this year. Thanks so much for your time. You know, it's always great talking to you. You know that. And tell your family I give them my best, okay?
I will, Steve. Thanks.
Well, he was a critical member of the Eagles Super Bowl championship team. Then, to be honest with you, he became a critical member of the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl winning team. Now he's with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think in the end, he's the one that's going to replace Foster in that offensive line. But it's great to hear from Stefan Wisniewski. And yes, he is up here all the time. I see him up here all the time. In fact, the last time I saw him here on campus was, I think Penn State was playing Minnesota or Northwestern in basketball, and Steph was at the game. That was the last time I saw him up here. But he's up here all the time. He was a terrific player here, guard, center, first-team All-American. Penn State's had 101 first-team All-Americans. He was the 95th. Great career. And look, this is going to be his 10th year. Something I really admire about certain individuals, it is obvious that when you see a Phillip Rivers or a Tom Brady, Drew Brees, the long list of players over the years that have had long NFL careers that are stars. You know, Jack Ham played a dozen years. They're great players, and teams keep wanting them back, wanting them back, wanting them back. Then there are the guys that, and I have great admiration for them, great admiration, that keep their careers alive. They're good enough to be in the league. They keep proving they're good enough to be in the league. You know, maybe they're a veteran player, so the number isn't quite right for a team to keep them. Because, I mean, in the end, for, you know, the number you need to keep a Drew Brees is different than the number to keep a Stefan Wisniewski. That's just the way it is. And the ability to keep your career alive. You know, Steph was drafted by the Raiders. He was a second-round pick. He then spent a season with the Jags. He spent, obviously, two, three seasons with the Eagles, then with the Chiefs last year. I mean, he was let go on August 31st last year. Yeah, finally he gets in the end of the season. As he mentioned, the Chiefs are struggling. Out of nowhere, like, they call and they say he's there, and now he's starting. Well, he stabilized the entire Chiefs offensive line. Stabilized them. And I think that's what these Steelers are hoping here, that he steps in and does the same thing. But it's that ability to keep your career alive. Mike Muscala has kept his career alive. He's, you know, most recently now with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I mean, Mike's been with the Lakers. Mike's been with the Hawks. Mike's moved around. He's been with the Sixers. He's kept his career alive. Tim Frazier, February, I'm at Michigan State. Tim now plays for the Detroit Pistons. Dick and I had a chance to talk to Tim before the game. I think briefly after the game, but mostly before the game, we had a chance to talk to Tim. Tim Frazier's kept his career alive. Celtics, Sixers, Trailblazers, Pelicans, Wizards, Pistons. He's kept his career alive. Do you know what it takes to do that? I mean, it takes a lot to keep your career going. And look, the more years you go, obviously the more money you make. And then there's another part, the deeper into the pension plan you get. So there is a lot that it takes to just keep it going. I have a lot of admiration for people who can do that. I mean, look at Steph. I mean, Steph starts on a Super Bowl-winning team with the Eagles. He starts on a Super Bowl-winning team with the Chiefs. So, obviously, he's more than good. But, again, you know, you get to a certain stage in your career, you bounce around a little bit. Well, when you're bouncing around a little bit, you're keeping it alive. I'll give you one. Here's one. Former first-round pick. Never has panned out, not even remotely close to being a great player. But Darius Hayward Bay has kept his career alive. Yeah, mostly on special teams and so forth, but he's kept his career going. That takes a lot to do that. That continued belief system, convincing people that, you know, you're still good enough to be there. And we don't have that jetpack, rocket fuel sprint to the top like a Matt Catrillo does. We all don't have that. Hear no response.
In the middle of doing so right now.
Yeah. Hey, Luke Cotrillo will go boom right to the top. Right. Look at Suit Light. Suit Light's kept his career alive. Now we're trying to figure out what that career is, but he's kept it alive.
You know, Steve, it's funny you mentioned about Steph and Wisniewski and guys alike, like Mike Muscala, who have been around so much. You look at Steph, for example. He had a tough ending with the Eagles in the preseason last year because the Eagles really wanted him to focus on center, and it just wasn't working out that well, and he just wasn't playing as good as he was during 2017, which is why the Eagles let him go. Plus, they had some younger guys right on his tail a little bit. And then all of a sudden, he is able to pick himself right back up, joins the Chiefs, and he wins another Super Bowl. So that just shows you what it can be like, especially when you're moving around on top of all that.
Well, also the ability, for example, look at last year. I know he goes into camp in shape. He was finally released on August 31st. So, I mean, how many weeks into the season he kept himself in shape for the opportunity? And when the opportunity got there, he made it work. Still ticked off at Fox, though. Because when they did the Chiefs starting lineup, they had him starting at left guard. And I'm looking out there. He says, of course he's starting at left guard. I see him there. Come on, man. Couldn't spell it?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Sunbury Motors Service Department is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And they do terrific work. And go to the Sunbury Motors website. Look at the great product lines. Okay? Doors are going to get open here pretty soon. And that happens. They have a lot of great product to buy. Across the board. Sunbury Motors, best in the business. All right. Let's get back to some football now. We've talked a lot of football today. Rich Cimini from ESPN joining us in the 3:35 half hour. Stefan Wisniewski previous half hour. We got Charlie Casserly tomorrow on the NFL draft from NFL Network, the former Redskins general manager, will be on the show tomorrow. But now let's get to the Penn State point of view. And we heard from Brent Pry last week. This week from Kirk Shiraka, but the co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach is Tim Banks. He had an opportunity to talk with the media earlier today.
Hi, Coach. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you doing this morning?
Great. Thank you. Going by what we read in sort of the recruiting media and stuff, it seems like you guys are getting really good response to whatever you're doing in terms of adjusting to this unique situation in terms of recruiting. What do you think you're doing that works? What adjustments have you made, and what do you think is connecting with kids?
Well, you know, I think recruiting in general still comes down to, you know, one great ingredient, you know, and that's relationship, you know, and we're working really hard to stay connected. You know, obviously it's challenging. But, you know, with the way social media is right now and, you know, all these smartphones, you know, we still have the ability to reach out, you know, text, you know, obviously receive some incoming calls. You know, it's just a lot of technology out there that allows us to stay connected to these young men and their families. And, you know, probably to be honest, the only thing that's really missing is the opportunity to get the guys on campus, which obviously when we get them to Happy Valley is a plus anytime we can have them around. But at this point, it's just trying to work really hard to stay connected through social media, text, and phone calls when we can.
Greg Pickle, Penn Live.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks for doing this. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Another recruiting question. Throughout your career, no matter where you've been, you've recruited the Midwest very well. What's allowed you to do that? What kind of relationships do you have out there? And why is that an important region for Penn State to recruit from a, you know, overall standpoint?
Well, I think proximity always plays a part. You know, anytime you're recruiting, you know, you're not just recruiting a young man, but you're recruiting a family. And having an opportunity to stay close to home or within that six-hour radius, if you will, I think it always plays an important role to the family. So I think the proximity is a big advantage that we have when you're talking about recruiting the Midwest. And for me personally, I think just because obviously, you know, even though I have this boyish look, you know, I've been recruiting for a long time and, you know, I've made a lot of great relationships, you know, around the country, you know, particularly in the Midwest. And I've coached at a lot of different stops along the way. And, you know, again, as I mentioned in the earlier post, you know, relationships are everything, you know, and I've had a chance to develop a lot of great ones and ones that, you know, really bode well for me in the university.
Frank Bodani, New York Daily Record.
You have some experience back there, some personality, some leaders. Can you talk about the importance of what guys like Lamont Wade, Brisker, Sutherland, what their role is, not just in the season maybe coming up, but right now during you know, these challenging times? Can you talk about how they're dealing with it?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's dealing with it, you know, in their own way. You know, we obviously have our Penn State family, but, you know, they have their families at home as well. So, you know, first of all, it's super difficult. You know, we understand that, you know, it's a lot of things that go into this thing. But they're holding up. You know, anytime we get an opportunity to come together as a family, you know, through technology, it's always a great thing. You know, Lamont's at home, you know, with his family, and, you know, he's working hard because they're still doing school. You know, they're having to take classes, you know, and keep up with those things. And again, it's challenging, but, you know, Brisker the same way, and even Sutherland. So, you know, as far as leading, you know, those guys obviously talk amongst each other and encourage each other. And, you know, there obviously are going to be some times when it's a little bit more difficult than others just because of the situation that we're in. But I think we have a pretty strong brotherhood within our room that allows particularly some of our older guys and guys that have been around the block to try to keep these younger guys up. And I think that's the role that Brisker and Sutherland and even Lamont are playing, you know, very well, best they can, given the circumstances.
Next up is Audrey Snyder with The Athletic.
Hey, Tim. Good morning. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Audrey. I know it's close to football time when I see you, so it makes me feel good. How are you?
There you go. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Good.
I'm just wondering, I asked Kirk about this the other day, too. How do you guys kind of measure? I mean, you guys are meeting online with the position groups, but how do you measure that progress? And he had mentioned that you guys were doing some quizzes, or he was anyway. Are you guys doing those as well on Fridays?
Yeah, we do. You know, not necessarily just Fridays, but, you know, we quiz them. But for me personally, and I think every coach has their own style, mm-hmm. you know, I quiz them every time we meet. You know, anytime we have an opportunity to, you know, talk football, you know, I think it's a quiz involved. You know, I think you ask a question and you want a response, you know, and if they don't give you the right response, then obviously they're not passing the test, if you will. So, you know, we try to stay engaged. You know, it's not just a presentation every time we meet. You know, there's a presentation and then there are questions. You know, I like to call them pop quizzes, if you will. And so far, you know, our guys have been great. You know, I feel good about the group that I have, and, you know, they're pretty engaged, and, you know, they want to get better, and they understand this is an opportunity. You know, obviously that we can't be on the field, but mentally, you know, we can still continue to grow and work, you know, at a pace that we feel that'll put us in position to be successful. So, but as far as, you know, the true traditional tests and quizzes, yeah, we're doing those as well.
Next up is Donnie Collins with the Times Tribune.
Hey, Tim. I wanted to ask you about Jaquan Brisker and kind of the growth he showed last year, you know, kind of learning a new position with some new responsibilities than he had at the JUCO level. How do you think he did with that kind of progress, and what do you think the next step is for him?
Brisker, I thought he had a really good season, you know, given that, you know, he got there in the summer and, you know, had to try to learn it, you know, at a quick pace, but he did well. Brisker's a worker. You know, he loves to work. You know, he loves to play the game of football. I'm excited. You know, I'm excited about the direction that he's headed. You know, obviously we didn't get a chance to go through spring football, but, you know, the winter conditioning, I thought every week he got better, you know, in terms of his stamina, you know, his strength, everything that we asked him to do so far, he's answered the bell. So I'm excited. You know, I think obviously for this fall or the next time we get an opportunity to play, you know, I think just like anything, anytime you have a chance to have some experience, you know, you typically grow. And, you know, I know he's really taking it upon himself to try to not just learn the position that he was playing in the fall, which was predominantly to our field side, but now he's learning the boundary side as well and some of our nickel movements as well. So he's just trying to learn and get a better grasp of the total defense and not just necessarily his responsibility. And based on, you know, what we've had in our meetings, you know, I feel like he's headed in the right direction.
Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, good morning.
Tim, you mentioned recruiting, and with the uncertainty of the next few months, are you finding, and the possibility that there may be no camps, are you finding that prospective recruits are looking to make their decisions sooner rather than later?
It's pretty fluid, you know. I think, you know, it just depends, you know, if a young man has been on your campus multiple times or any campuses multiple times, I think he may be more inclined to make a decision just because of the familiarity. But then some of the ones that you're recruiting that you have not had the opportunity to have on campus, but you've developed a, you know, nice relationship via, you know, social media and technology, you know, I think those guys are hoping, you know, that, you know, once this thing is under control, that they'll have an opportunity to visit. So I just think it's a fluid situation. You know, again, as I keep referencing, the parents are involved with a lot of young men. And, you know, if they haven't had a chance to vet some of these coaches and get on campuses, I think they're keeping some of the guys from making a commitment early. But for some of the other ones, I think if they feel comfortable enough, they are pulling the trigger. So I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all type of mentality. I think it's pretty fluid.
Mark Brennan, Lions 247.
Tim, you guys have seen and are seeing a sustained level of recruiting success in Detroit. Can you talk about your roots there, kind of how competitive that is, and you know, how you've gone about doing it beyond just having those roots there?
Well, I mean, I think it is a competitive area in general. You know, I think if you're in the Midwest, which is, you know, Big Ten footprint, you know, you're fighting all the, you know, the major players. And, you know, obviously, yeah, you know, I grew up there. You know, I played in the area. You know, I've coached in the area. You know, I think that's awesome. But at the same time, you know, you still have to do a great job of vetting the right people, making sure that the kids truly understand, you know, what Penn State brings to the table. So it is a challenge. You know, I don't take it for granted because that's where I'm from. You know, I know the young men that come out of that area, you know, a lot of them are very blue collar and, you know, hardworking and, you know, are just looking for an opportunity, you know, to continue to grow, not only, you know, as an athlete, but obviously, you know, academically. And, you know, I feel like obviously Penn State gives that in spades. So, you know, I feel like we have a really good product to sell and a great opportunity to sell. And
hardly
a lot
cloudy
of kids
with wins,
have obviously been receptive to that. And, you know, but, you know, again, just not taking it for granted and continuing to, you know, go in and act like it. The area is new to me, if you will, and turning over every stone, making
gradually
sure that,
subsiding,
you know,
tonight, low of 35. Tomorrow,
you know,
breezy in the morning, mostly cloudy with a passing shower, and a high of 47. And mostly sunny for Saturday. With partly cloudy with winds gradually subsiding tonight, low of 35. Tomorrow, breezy in the morning, mostly cloudy.
Hey, good morning, Tim, and thanks for the time this morning.
I think you have to get to know the kid, you know, figure out, you know, what motivates him, what's important to him. And figure out how to help them,
testing,
you know, achieve
testing.
His goals.
I'm Zach Klein with the WKOK News Update.
I think it's very simple that way, to be quite honest with you. You know, I don't have a system
testing,
that says,
testing.
You know, this is
I'm
where
Zach
we're
Klein
going
with
it,
the WKOK
and that's
News
it.
Update.
You know, I try to figure out, you know, how I can help you be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. And I think that resonates with most people. You know, I love my guys. You know, I truly love what I do. And hopefully those guys can feel that, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, for me personally, it's not just about football, you know, it's about, you know, helping develop these guys, you know, not just as players, but as young men. Obviously for me, you know, I truly believe that it's personal. It really is. You know, if a guy comes under my leadership and I don't feel like I've helped them reach their full potential, I always feel like I fail, you know, and most guys will equate that directly with football, but it's not just football. That's just a part of it, you know. So that's just always been my style, you know, and hopefully if I've been able to help a lot of young men along the way, you know, then I feel like I've been blessed and I'm walking in my calling.
That is Tim Banks, Penn State's safety coach and also co-defensive coordinator. We'll come back. We'll have more with Tim tomorrow on the show as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they do great work there. Not good work, they do great work. They find the problem, they take care of the problem. And that is Sunbury Motors Service Department, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And check out the product line at sunburymotors.com. Because this is all going to open up here at some point. When they do, there are many of you I know out there that want to buy. All right, tomorrow on the show, Charlie Casserly, the former Redskins general manager, will be with us. He now is with NFL Network. Turns out that this is going to be a year where normally you have, it's a competition between ESPN and NFL Network and who does well. Now, over the years, I will admit, I've been one of those that began more and more watching NFL Network's coverage of the NFL draft. Just more my taste. Now, you know, obviously, I mean, the personnel is a big part of it. And, but it looks like because of the different circumstances, they want to use the ESPN studio in Bristol to do this, and they're going to combine resources. Now, how do you combine resources? Is it Todd McShay? Is it Mel Kiper? For NFL Network, is it Daniel Jeremiah? What about Rich Eisen? What about Trey Wingo? I mean, there's a lot of, decisions that go in here, but evidently they're going to share resources. It's going to be on NFL Network, ESPN, ABC. I don't think this year it's on Fox. It might be. I'd have to look. But supposedly they're going to combine resources. Now, this is also, as I mentioned earlier, you get a lot of rumors. And, of course, there have been rumors about when seasons are going to start and so forth. You know, it's April 9th. Or some Penn State fans would understand it's 4:09. But it's April 9th. All right. Okay. You make a decision on what to do with the Masters golf tournament at this time of the year. You don't make a decision on the college and NFL season. You don't do that. But Kevin Colbert did bring up something interesting. Now, it's interesting when it comes from a team that doesn't have as many draft picks, but he feels they should add rounds to the draft this year because of the uncertainty and the fact that people didn't get a chance to work out certain guys at pro days and so forth. It's an interesting thought. I don't think they're going to do it, but he's at least brought it up and broached the subject. Now, if they were to add three rounds, for example, Matt and little Luke could be sitting there for the extra 2 hours.
Of course.
Watching it. Now you're going to be explaining all this to him. I can tell. I can see this happening right now.
Oh, it will be happening in the man cave. We'll have our Eagles gear on, and we'll be anxiously awaiting the Eagles pick at number 21.
It'll be a wideout.
That's what I hope for, and that's what it should be.
It'll be a wide receiver, about as deep a wide receiver draft as I've seen. But Charlie Casserly and I will get into that tomorrow on the show, so we're looking forward to it. Okay? Very much. Also, at some point, and we'll probably do this next week, this is something we rarely do on the show, because, I mean, normally we're an issue-oriented show. We talk about, I brought up, for example, name, image, likeness, this one-year transfer thing, which is Sounds like it might be June when they address that one way or the other. But we rarely do the how about your top 100 movie? But you know, it's also a time to have some fun, don't you think? You know, I mean, we're going to do the top 100 suit moments, and then we realize there are about 2,000 of them. So we really, I mean, so that was out. And that was just from doing this show. But The Athletic put out its top 100 sports movies of all time. Now, this is obviously subjective, okay? Obviously subjective. But I think at some point next week we get an open hour here, you know, because I mean we've had a lot of guests on, and we continue to have a lot of guests on. But if we end up with an open hour here at some point next week, that might be one that we ought to run through. It's actually pretty good. I want you to guess what was the number one movie on the list.
Rudy.
Oh. Okay, let's start with this. The dude was offsides, okay?
Come on now.
I was actually there for it was when you see the snowy day at the end and the band playing in the pregame. You know that scene, just an establishing scene?
Yes.
You know that's the Penn State Blue Band.
Oh, that I didn't know. I'll have to go back and look at it now. I haven't watched that in a while.
Penn State was the day Penn State played Notre Dame, and they had told us going into the game they were going to be filming that day. So we actually saw some of the film locations walking in. He was offside.